This morning I'm proclaiming the word of God from Psalm 23. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we meditate on your word, fill us with your spirit so that we may be led to Christ and live with him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I had planned to preach on the gospel, but by mid-morning on Friday I realised I really had to preach on Psalm 23 today. And so today, for this sermon, we'll do a meditation on this very beautiful psalm. We'll listen to these words given to us by God, and as we listen to these words, we'll let God form pictures in our minds. These pictures are given by God so that we may be led to Jesus Christ, our Good Shepherd, who knows us by name, who calls us to be with himself. Now, you don't need to have a Bible open for this sermon, but if you'd like to, we're on page, for quick reference, 390 of the Old Testament, part of the Pew Bibles. It could be good to look at today, because there are some details I'll draw your attention to, but I'll also describe them as I speak. Let's listen then to this psalm. We'll go through it verse by verse. It starts, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." Now, if you're reading, notice the word Lord there. It's written in these reduced capitals. Now, why is that? Do you know? In the Old Testament, if you see the Lord written in this peculiar way, it's a signal that here we are dealing with the name of God. Sometimes it's translated as Yahweh or something like that. Lord is a title, but the Lord has a name that he revealed to his people. We're going to come to this later in the sermon. Just so that we know here, we're dealing with God's name. Like an example would be, you know me as pastor. That's my office, my role. But my name is Fraser. The Lord has a name, Yahweh. We're going to think more about this as we go along. And also the name that we call upon, Jesus, which means the Lord saves. Let's also think about this imagery. It's very personal to begin with. It's the Lord, our shepherd, and each one of us as individuals. It's good for us to think of ourselves as part of a larger group, the church, the congregation, the flock of Christ. And that's the sort of imagery we get in the gospel reading. But in the psalm, we get personal, individual imagery. So it seems to me that as we hear this psalm, it's good for us to picture ourselves alone before God. God wants us to think of ourselves indeed as part of the church, but also to understand that he is with each one of us, that he knows each one of us by name, that he cares for us individually. The shepherd knows the names of the sheep. So first of all, note in this imagery, it's a very personal aspect. And then, of course, it's pastoral. We picture the Lord as our shepherd, and we are sheep. The stained glass window here does a good job of this. You can meditate on that, if you like, as you listen to these words and think about them. This imagery of pasture here, green pasture, where there is plenty to eat. There is imagery of still waters, especially for sheep. Running water can be threatening, especially if they could fall into it. Still waters, safe waters for the sheep to drink. There's also imagery of the sheep lying down. If in the countryside you see sheep lying down, know that you're dealing with happy sheep. They're not looking for more food to eat, scrounging in the paddock. They've had plenty. They can rest. My grandparents were farmers up in the north in Laura. I got taught a lot of lessons about sheep by my grandparents, my grandfather especially when I worked with them, with my grandfather. We spent one morning dealing with sheep, and they were very stupid, and as he washed up for lunch, he said, "There, Fraser, now you know why the good Lord likens us to sheep, right?" Happy sheep, though, lie down. This is the imagery in the psalm. The Lord God knowing us personally, leading us into abundance, giving us safety and protection. Again, I remind you, these words, these images, are given to you by God. He wants you to think about these things, to meditate on them, to let pictures form in your minds. Know that these pictures come from God. They're spirit-filled. You're on the right track when you think about God this way. Notice also, by the way, that in this psalm, it's God, the Good Shepherd, our Lord, who acts for us. He makes me lie down. He leads me. He restores my soul. God acting for each one of us personally. Then the psalm goes on. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. In paths of righteousness, right paths, the Lord knows the path to take us on. It's not a dead end. When the Lord leads us as his sheep, he leads us on paths that will take us to life. Right paths. Paths that are sure. That's the first thing to note. We can have this imagery also in our mind of the Lord leading us on a sure path where we can have footing. This is especially helpful for us to know when sometimes we feel that in life we have no place to put our feet, that the foundations are no longer under us. We can know that the Lord is leading us on a path where we can find safety, where we can place our feet down to find a sure foundation. Notice also that in this text it says that he does these things, all these gracious acts, for his name's sake. Now what's going on there? What does it mean for God to do something for the sake of his name? Well, at the beginning of this sermon, I drew attention to the fact that the Lord, that word, is written in a peculiar way in this psalm, in these reduced capitals, and it's the name of God. Now, if you want to, go back to Exodus 34 with me. For quick reference, it's on page 62 of your Old Testaments. Again, you can just listen in, you'll get this. In Exodus, we have God revealing his name and what it means to Moses. The people of God are wandering in the desert, and Moses is unsure whether God will go with them, whether he will be truly present with them. And Moses asks God to reveal himself, and he does so by revealing his name. I'll read out what Exodus 34, verses 6 following say. The Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, "The Lord, the Lord." Notice how the Lord is written in that same way. "A God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." It goes on to say that God does deal with guilt, but in a restrained way. And then Moses, upon hearing this, prays to God, since God reveals who he is, what his name means with these words. God, in other words, doesn't deal with us according to what we deserve, because of what we earned, or in retribution. Rather, God deals with us according to his name and what it means. He reveals that he is abounding in steadfast love, that he is slow to anger, and gracious and compassionate. The Lord is our good shepherd and leads us as a shepherd for his name's sake, showing who he is so that we may know God, call upon him, and also praise God to others as we experience the goodness of God in our own lives. Notice also too that Jesus, the name we call on here in church, means the Lord saves. Jesus shows us in the flesh what the name of God means. And we need to hear these words, meditate on the images that God gives us, especially when we go through dark and difficult times in life. Now, the psalm doesn't shy away from these realities, but speaks about them very clearly. Listen to how the psalm goes on. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, first of all, let's think about the imagery here. Even though I walk through the darkest valley. When I picture this valley, I picture a valley with very steep sides, wooded, maybe a bit dank, maybe with a stream which is unfriendly, a dark and dangerous place. Living in Adelaide, perhaps, we don't see valleys all the time, but when I go to see valleys in the countryside, especially at sunset, I notice how quickly dark they get. Now, here's the image we have in the psalm, walking now through the darkest valley. A very literal translation here is the valley of the shadow of death. I think it's good for us to meditate also on these words and think about what it might therefore mean for us as Christian people. I recently read a book by a Jewish scholar, Hebrew, as his speciality, and he was given a diagnosis of cancer. He thought he'd die. He had every reason to think so because of the diagnosis, and he wrote a book called In a Valley of the Shadow of Death. As human beings, unlike animals, we can think about what our death means. We can understand what a prognosis is and the threat that it brings. And we can wonder whether God really is with us when we face these sorts of diagnoses in our lives. Maybe with things like cancer, but maybe also other things which are deathly. Things like loss of friendships, loss of good relationships, loss of financial security. All these things bring darkness and death into our life. We can wonder whether God is with us, but God gives us words to meditate on to assure us that even in these dark times, He is with us. He is our good shepherd. His rod and staff comfort us, the text says. Now, a shepherd has a rod and a staff, these two things, to drive away wild animals, to keep the sheep safe, and also to bring the sheep back onto the right path. The shepherd is with us. He has these means to keep us safe, even in the valley of the shadow of death. God does not abandon us through these times, but is with us to protect us and gives us words to meditate on when we are facing these difficulties in life, challenges which can overwhelm us according to our own strength. Now, after this, the imagery moves away from the pasture, away from shepherd imagery, to the imagery of banqueting. Here's what the psalm says. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. We have here imagery of the bountiful hospitality of God. Of God welcoming us to his table where there is plenty. I picture here a table which is well set up, overflowing with good food and drink, and God is inviting me to partake. There's also here the imagery of enemies looking on. Even in our own world, and especially in the ancient world, where there is hospitality, there is protection. You know, if someone comes into our own homes, we take care of them, make sure they are safe and well cared for. In the ancient world, even stronger, the host had an obligation to the guest to make sure they'd be safe from any outside attack. The Lord shows us hospitality. The enemies look on, but the Lord shows that we are protected. Sin, death, hell look on. Our enemies are in the shadows, But God invites us into his banquet. He welcomes us and provides generously for us. You know, as Christian people, we can make good use of this imagery as we come to the Lord's table, where we receive the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Here we receive the richest gifts of God, freely given to us, so that we may know the Lord saves. As we come to the table, sin, death, and hell look on powerless. It's the Lord God who gives us a welcome, and in Christ Jesus who justifies us. What can sin, hell, or death do when we've received such a gracious welcome freely? And this is how the psalm ends. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Think of a dog on a scent. A dog following, pursuing, not giving up. The hound of heaven, the goodness of God, his mercy, following us. Not letting us go, following us wherever we may go to bring us back home. Surely God's goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, shall follow each one of us. We do not need to fear that God in Christ Jesus will abandon us, stop searching for us. We know that God's goodness and mercy are his gifts to us, that he does not hold back. And indeed, it's because of this that we can live in the house of the Lord for the length of our days, even forever. Here we see this already at work in the church, the household of God. We've been invited in Christ Jesus. We are known by name. In holy baptism, God put his mark on you, called you by name, so that you belong to him. We have Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, the one who freely lays down his life for the sheep. And we have words of God given to us, so that we may meditate, be filled with the Spirit, and find encouragement in life. Today I simply wanted to do a meditation on this beautiful psalm, to meditate on the images given to us by God, so that through this word, through this meditation, we may be led by the Spirit to Christ Jesus himself, the one who saves us, the one who is with us, even through the darkest times.